From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Juneau is at the mercy of the ever-evolving Mendenhall Glacier. Each year, water captured behind a glacial ice dam releases into Mendenhall River, causing a flood. Typically, the flooding is minor, but this year, floodwaters tore through Mendenhall Valley with more force than ever, gnawing through the riverbank and undermining homes that once seemed safe. A few days later, a small group of scientists took a helicopter to the source of the flood to figure out why this year's flood was so devastating and what that might mean for future floods in Juneau. KTOO's Anna Canny went with them and has the story.
Hydrologist Aaron Hood is shuffling across patches of vivid blue ice. He and two other scientists follow a silty channel that runs between a steep mountain slope and the edge of Mendenhall Glacier.
So this last week we would have been all underwater here.
They're headed to a glacial basin known as Suicide Basin. It sits about 2 miles above the glacier's terminus. Just a few days ago, 13 billion gallons of water drained out of that basin and carved through here. Then it spilled down to Mendenhall Lake and out into Mendenhall River, which rose 9 feet in a matter of hours. It was the worst glacial outburst flood in Juneau's history. The team moved towards the mouth of the channel, weaving through small streams of water and dripping, house-sized blocks of ice that were left behind by the flood. After a steep ascent over loose boulders, they're standing at the lip of Suicide Basin. It's a deep, bowl-shaped valley, dwarfed by peaks surrounding it. On one end, the vast expanse of the Mendenhall Glacier. The glacier here acts as a dam, trapping rain and meltwater in the valley. Before the flood, it was filled to the brim. Now, it's empty. That's because when the water builds up enough pressure, it cracks through the ice. Then it works its way through those cracks, out under the glacier, and downstream to the Mendenhall River, triggering the flood. That same process has happened every year since 2011. But Hood has been studying the glacier at the University of Alaska Southeast for more than 2 decades, and he remembers a time before that.
When I moved here, there was no waterfall because it was all ice, but the entire basin was filled with the glacier, so there was no room for the water to fill up.
But the glacier is receding rapidly, in part due to human-caused climate change. So that's what revealed the basin in the first place. And as the glacier keeps melting, it continues to change the size and shape of the basin. Understanding how it's changing can help scientists better predict future floods. At the basin's edge, Hood lays out a miniature helipad and a small drone. The drone flies back and forth across the basin over the course of a few hours. It takes thousands of aerial photos to capture every crack and crevice. Even when it's empty, the basin is filled with huge chunks of ice that were left behind by glacial retreat.
So that's a big concern, is that the more all of this ice sitting in here can melt, the bigger the flood's going to be.
And scientists believe that the ice is melting faster than ever. At the same time, as the glacier melts, it's pulling back from the edge of the basin, making it wider. That means there's both more meltwater and more space to store that water. So there's the potential for larger floods. But that's only one factor that determines how bad a flood will be. Hydrologist Ed Neal of Alaska Hydroscience says the trickier part is understanding how fast the water drains from the basin.
You know, you got X amount of water. If you let it out of garden hose, it's going to take a long time to drain it. If you let it out of fire hose, it's going to take a short time to drain it.
This year, it was more like a fire hose. The water drained fast, causing a higher flood peak and more damaging flow. But the drainage channels where water comes out are buried in tons of ice. They're basically impossible to get to. This leaves scientists with an unsolvable equation. With the drone survey, they can only find one variable, which means predicting Juneau's glacial outburst floods will remain a bit of a crapshoot. What they can say for sure is that another major glacial outburst flood will come. Hood says that the threat of flooding will remain until the Mendenhall Glacier melts away to a point where it can no longer dam the basin.
This flood will probably occur for decades. It's unlikely that we would have experienced the largest flood within the first 10 years or so.
Meanwhile, extreme rainfall is becoming more frequent across southeast Alaska. If the next big glacial outburst flood coincides with a drenching rainstorm, the damage could be even worse. So the residents who live along the bank of Mendenhall River shouldn't expect a major flood every year. but they should expect something worse in the coming decades, because high above Juneau, the basin keeps growing. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
It sounds like an Alaska transportation riddle, but how does a salmon cross a road? The answer will soon be, quote, with financial help from the Federal Transportation Department. The U.S. Department of Transportation is sending Alaska more than $44 million to install fish-friendly culverts and other means to get migrating salmon to the other side of roads. Alaska Public Media's Liz Bruskin reports on the first round of grants from a new federal program.
U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg admits he's a fish out of water when it comes to talking about fish migration.
When you take on a job like Secretary of Transportation, there are some things you know you're going to be working on, planes, trains, and automobiles. And there are other things, like anadromous fish passage, that you do not realize will be on your plate.
Anadromous fish, that's salmon and other species that live in the sea as adults and travel up freshwater streams to spawn. Roads that cross fish streams are supposed to be designed for fish migration, but Alaska still has lots of culverts that fish can't get through. Sometimes the problem is water volume, with the culvert acting as a pinch point. Some culverts are perched too high above the stream bed. The DOT has a new program to fund better fish crossings. Among the first grants are 9 projects across Alaska, from Kluwak to King Salmon. The largest grant is $20 million to the state of Alaska to improve a dozen stream crossings along the Parks Highway. The state says when complete, that project will open 50 miles of anadromous streams, leading to hundreds of acres of lake habitat. Secretary Buttigieg says the program benefits fishing communities.
This is not just a question of conservation or preservation. It's also a question of economic security and food security.
The program was funded through the bipartisan infrastructure law. Nationwide, it supplies grants of $200 million a year. Reporting from Anchorage, I'm Liz Ruskin.
When a team of scientists departed to find a trove of footprints left along the middle section of the Yukon River earlier this month, one of the questions they hoped to answer was how many kinds of dinosaurs lived here nearly 100 million years ago. As KYUK's Emily Schwing reports, the expedition has answered a lot of questions about prehistoric biodiversity.
On the eighth day of a 16-day field expedition, scientists stumbled upon a big find.
I like when they're this easy to see. That's all I can say. It's like, these are beautiful. And they're just everywhere.
Paleontologist Tony Fiorillo says this must have been a place where ancient birds just like to be. He says maybe there was lots of food here for them. He's found tracks like this in other parts of Alaska.
But this is crazy. And you know, the strange thing is this kind of bird track, whether we see it here, whether we see it in Denali, we always find them in clusters. Like, so it would suggest that these, whatever this bird is, it's gregarious. Or it just had a lot of nervous feet.
The tracks were made by something Fiorillo says are shorebird-like. He also says there are prints from at least 2 different species, and they're all over the tops of at least 16 blocks of rock. Over the course of an afternoon, Fiorillo and his colleague, Yoshi Kobayashi, a paleontology professor from Japan's Hokkaido University, identified footprints from at least 5 ancient bird and dinosaur species that once lived here. There's no record of any paleontologist ever digging as deep for details about the dinosaurs that date back to the early Cretaceous. Kobayashi has been all over the world tracking down dinosaurs, including in Mongolia and Uzbekistan. He says it's not necessarily rare to find blocks of rocks rich with bird tracks.
Yeah, there's a place in South Korea that if you go to the, like a southern tip of the peninsula, mm-hmm. Korean peninsula, there's a beach or the rock full covered with like small bird tracks.
Huh.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
The team chose this part of the river to explore because they wanted to know more about the biodiversity. And they say they're surprised by what they found. There are many more species of ancient reptiles and birds than they were expecting. The researchers will continue downriver past Caltag for the next few days. They'll head back upriver to Nalato by August 16th. Along the Yukon River, I'm Emily Schwing.
It's currently 59 degrees and overcast here in Juneau. Some sun might be slated for Saturday. This is KTOO.